11, and you'll be there. And while you're there, I'm going to take my watch off and lay it right here and tell you a story real quick. There's a little Catholic boy, a little Baptist boy, played together all the time. And the little Catholic boy asked the little Baptist boy if he'd come to church with him. And he said, well, I'll come to church with you if you'll come to church with me. And so that little Catholic boy took that little Baptist boy to the Catholic church that Sunday. Mama let him go. He went up there, and they started coming in there, and they had that thing they were waving, and it smelled funny, and there was smoke coming up everywhere. And they was all kneeling, getting up, and the priest waving stuff. He said, what in the world does all that mean? And that little Catholic boy tried to explain it to him best he could. And service is over with, and next week he knew it was his time. So the little Baptist boy asked the Catholic boy and made sure his mom was all right there for him to come to the Baptist church. That little Catholic boy come into the Baptist church and watched everything was going on, and he's asking questions along the way. And the preacher got up to preach, and he took his watch off. He said, what's that mean? That little old Baptist boy seen absolutely nothing.
Amen.
Need nothing.
Amen.
I heard talk about the offering. I give offering everywhere I go. My Bible says, "Giving it shall be given unto you." Amen.
Amen.
And so I give offerings everywhere I go, and we always make sure we've got an offering everywhere, including your church. And I remember one preacher telling me one time, a little boy come up to him. He said, "We're taking an offering for you. How come you're putting money in the plate?" That preacher told him, "So I have enough money to get home with." That's what I'm doing. Amen.
Amen.
You say, well, we'll make sure that happens. And by the time a week's off, some of you are going to ship me out, what you're going to do. Take your Bible there at Acts chapter 11. Stand with me, please. It is a joy to be here. I'm excited about the message tonight. And as all preachers do, especially if they're out in the evangelism, they go home and tweet things and pray over things, make sure this is what God wants. And we've heard a lot about the heart tonight, haven't we?
Amen.
Preachers use that much. So we're going to talk about the heart tonight.
Amen.
And I hope that it'll help you as well as convict you and bring you into a right and proper relationship with the Lord. Acts chapter 11, we begin reading in verse number 19. The Bible said, now they which were scattered abroad, and this being, if you will, the church, and some of the disciples, the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word, watch it now, to none but unto the Jews only. By the way, it's to the Jew first, amen?
Yes,
but now watch, some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. So it wasn't to the Jew only, but also to the Greeks, if you will, or to the Gentile population. Thank God that the gospel's to everybody.
Amen.
And then verse number 21 says, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. I pastored 30 years, and I always wanted to have a big day every Sunday.
Yes, sir.
Wanted to see people saved, wanted to see people baptized, people surrendering to the Lord, people repenting, getting right as Christians, and seeing God do something every single service. It didn't matter whether it was Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, or a revival meeting, or a missions conference, or whatever it might be, for God to get a hold of the hearts of His people and the hearts of the lost people as well. And that's what happened here. Now watch what happens here. It's wonderful. Watch this. Verse 22 again. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent for Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. By the way, that speaks of leadership. Barnabas being the leader there, if you will. Leadership is always needed in the church.
Amen.
Proper leadership.
Yep.
Holy leadership.
Yes.
And I know we use a lot of men in a lot of play, but ladies, you're important as well.
Amen.
And you got to live that holy life and be ready to be presented in an area of leadership in the church. Verse 23, Barnabas, who when he came had seen the grace of God, listen, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord.
Amen.
I want to preach to you on this subject tonight. Let God have your heart.
Amen.
Let God have your heart.
Yep.
Father in heaven, we love you. Thank you for the privilege and opportunity to be here tonight. And Lord, I don't want to waste your time or these folks' time. So Lord, Holy Spirit of God, would you speak through me? I realize that without you, we're absolutely nothing. Words could fall off the end of my tongue and mean absolutely nothing. But it's your word, and I pray, God, that you'd add to it and you'd bring Christians under conviction in the areas that they need to be convicted in, and then bring encouragement to those who need encouragement. Bring a challenge to those who need to be challenged, a calling to those who need to be called into your service. But Lord, just have your will and way tonight, please. And at the end of the service, when the altar call is given, may every single child of God find a place in their heart to bow before you. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and for his sake only we do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. If I go back and I read that verse one more time, who when he came had seen the grace of God, was glad, and he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart, listen, they would cleave unto the Lord. Purpose of heart. I got thinking about that word purpose and looked it up, and purpose is something or someone that we set up as an object or an end, if you will, to be attained. Another word for it is intention. In other words, an aim or a goal or an intention, our heart's intent on serving the Lord and our heart's intent on being faithful to God. That's what it's talking about, a purpose in your heart, a purpose of heart. Determination is another word that is used when you look there. Another word is called resolve or determination, if you will. The aim or act of resolving or determining upon an action or a course of action. I think all of us in here tonight realize that God has given us responsibility. That responsibility is to go. It's to go and tell others about Jesus Christ. It's to get them saved. It's to get them baptized. Then it's to teach them the Word of God so that they can go out and get people saved and get them baptized so that they can come in and be discipled and go out and do that. That's the way God expects for it to work. And it has to begin in your life and my life. And we need to purpose in our heart that that's what we're going to do. If we get nothing else out of tonight, get that. Everyone in here that say, how many of you saved? Say amen. Amen. Every single one of you are responsible to God to go, to tell people about Jesus Christ. Had a little song we used to sing, and I'll not sing it all, and you had to listen to my voice, but I love this little old song. I am determined, I've made up my mind, I'll serve the Lord, I'll leave this world and his treasures behind. Amen. I'll serve the Lord. Amen. I'll Miss Audie going to sing it too. This was what we sang to our young people when we were youth pastors years and years ago. Why? We wanted them to have purpose in their life. We wanted them to leave the world behind and determine and purpose in their heart to go forward for God. The Bible said, for where your treasure is, there will your what be? Your heart be also. We could preach on that all night. I like Proverbs 3 verse 5 and 6. That's my wife's life verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart, listen, with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Everything about life that you and I have in this life, in this body, is an intention or a resolve or a determination from our heart to do what God said to do or do what we want to do. And I got news for you. If you determine to do what you want to do, it'll turn out wrong just about every single time. I like what Proverbs 23 and verse number 26 says. It says this, my son, give me thine heart. Look at me. God's wanting you to come tonight. And if you get nothing else out of that by going or doing whatever God said to do, you ought to come to this altar tonight. If you haven't made up your mind to do something for God, if you haven't made up your mind to get closer to God, if you haven't made up your mind to read your Bible like you ought to read, to separate yourself from the world, if you will, whatever it might be, you need to dedicate and determine yourself to be at an altar tonight. Bow before a holy God, a thrice holy God is what our preacher calls him, a thrice holy God, bow before him and purpose in your heart that you're going to give him all of your heart. Amen. I like Psalm 34 and verse 18 says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Amen. Boy, do we need some broken hearts in the house of God. Some contrite spirits, some less than proud spirits, if you will. And of course, when your heart Listen, when your heart is exactly what God wants it to be, you win every time.
Yeah.
I like Romans 10, 9 and 10. You remember this when you won? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the what? Heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I don't know, I may repeat this, but that time you got saved, no matter where you were, at an altar, sitting in your living room, in a field somewhere, wherever it was, you gave him every bit of your heart.
Right.
The only way you're going to get saved is to give him all your heart.
Right.
You gave him your heart, your soul, and your spirit. You gave him your life. He now owns your body. He is supposed to own your mind.
Yep.
He's supposed to own your... Are you listening?
Yes.
He's supposed to own your spirit.
Yeah.
Every bit about it.
Amen.
You know, there wouldn't be so many bad spirits, negative spirits, griping spirits in the church today if we give him all of our heart.
Yeah.
Your heart...
That's right.
Was as close as it could ever get to being a perfect heart, dedicated unto God the moment you got saved.
Yeah.
Question tonight is this, before I move on. What shape is your heart in tonight?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
Where is your heart tonight?
Free.
Let God have your heart.
Right.
Anew and afresh tonight. In our churches today, some Christians give God some time.
Right.
We ought to give him as much time as he desires.
Right.
Some give him just lip service, and that's not good enough. Our churches are full of lip service people.
Yeah.
The Bible tells us in Matthew 15:8, you ought to write this down and look at it later. I'm going to have you turn to the Old Testament in just a moment. But in Matthew 15:8, the Bible said, my people, or this people, draweth nigh unto me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.
Yeah.
Go to Isaiah 29. I want you to turn there. You got to see this one. Isaiah chapter 29, powerful. And by the way, the scripture you read there that we read from Matthew is just a carryover with the Lord's words himself. In verse 13 of Isaiah 29, we read this. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me, watch it now, with their mouth and listen, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. You know, we got a lot of people that are shouting. I'm not naming anybody. I'm not on you right here, but just listen to me. I got a lot of people that are shouting amen.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I got people that used to preach on tithing. Nobody likes to shout amen on tithing unless you're tithing.
Yeah.
And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you're tithing, you don't have to say it sarcastically,
but
you ought to just say, preacher, that's right. It's what the Bible says. Amen.
Yeah.
Something like that. Amen.
Yeah.
But I got a lot of people back when I was preaching as a pastor, and you'd hear them holler amen. You'd look out there, and in my spirit behind the pulpit, I'd be going, you liar.
Yeah, right.
You're a lying dog. Shut up. You know what they're doing? They're giving God lip service.
Yeah.
But their heart was as far from him as it could be.
That's right.
So how do you know? I sign the statements at the end of the year on how much people give so they can use it supposedly for their taxes if they desire. Are y'all listening to me?
Yeah. Come on.
And that same man gave $6.69 that year. I want to run back there and grab a hold of his ears and pull on him a little bit. What was he doing? He was giving God lip service, but his heart was far from him. You got people out there when you shout and say, you know what, we ought to be getting people saved and going soul winning, but the problem is they don't show up, but when you say it, preacher, they'll say amen. Lip service. Lip service. When we know it's right to tithe. Let me just go ahead and get all this old preaching out of the way. When we know it's right to tithe, but we rob God of his tithes and his offerings. Hello? And we holler amen. That's lip service, but our heart is far from us. Amen. Well, I know the Bible declares that the beginning of our Christian walk begins with the heart. We could go to many other scriptures than what I gave you already. The Bible said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That's the way we're to live.
Yeah.
Dr. John R. Rice said this years ago, and I quote, he said, if a man will give God his heart, you don't have to worry about anything else.
Right.
If a man gives God his heart, he gets everything else that man or that woman has.
Amen.
You see, that's what God wants you to do tonight. God wants you to give him your heart.
Yeah.
Not just lip service, but your heart. Not just showing up and taking an occupation in a chair, but your heart. God's desire is that he would have all of us, hear me now, or none of us.
Yeah.
Right. You know what God doesn't want? God doesn't want some old Pharisee walking around out here that claims that he is better than somebody, and yet he's just giving lip service. He doesn't know the Lord. She may not know the Lord. And God says that's what he doesn't want. God's desire is that you tonight would have, that he would have all of you tonight in service unto him. Loving God with all your heart. Look at Matthew 22. I'm going to go ahead and read this to you. You find this in Matthew. You find it in Luke's Gospel. You find it in Deuteronomy chapter 6. You find it in two or three other passages of Scripture. But right here in Matthew, I want you to go there. I think one time with you before I preached out of using some of these Scriptures here, but look at Matthew chapter number 22, and look down, if you will, to verse number 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus saith unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Now if you go read Luke's rendition of that in Luke 10, it says that he was to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. You know what that is? That's every bit of your fiber and being. That's everything from inside out that God's looking for. You say, well, he's sure asking for a lot. For someone who saved you from hell, I don't think he's asking for a lot at all. He explained, by the way, we ought to just honor him by obeying him, period, anyway. He said, this is the first and great commandment. Look at it. The second's like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, I don't have time to go talk about the Good Samaritan over in Luke, but I want you to understand what he's saying here is when we give God all of our heart, we'll not only be concerned about what God wants from our heart, then we'll be concerned about our neighbor. Be concerned about those who are out there next door to us, down the street from us, on the job, in our schools, wherever we are, our neighbor. In fact, one of them asked him, who is my neighbor? He gave him the great story of the Good Samaritan. You know that story. I don't have time to go over that. Look at the next statement, though. On these two commandments here, that is to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, look at it, hang all the law and the prophets. Look up here. You see this book here is 60, and hear me, 66 books in this Bible.
Yep.
In the Old Testament is all they had in this day. The New Testament had not been written yet.
Right.
You and I now read from what was written after that.
Yep.
So what he was saying to everybody there who didn't have Jesus' words written, right, he was saying that the prophets were good enough.
Yeah.
They spoke of him. They spoke of God's will and God's purpose for their life. They too, the children of Israel, read just a moment ago, many scriptures in the Old Testament were to give God their total heart, their total life, their total being. And by the way, God asked us, and that was under the law, God asked us under grace to do the same thing, and we ought to be willing to do that for him tonight. You know, Sunday should become a way of life.
Yeah.
Not just times that, listen, that we spend in the church.
Oh,
and Sunday will become a special day when you give God your heart.
Yeah.
When folks serve or are faithful most of the time, it's a blessing to any pastor.
Right.
It's a blessing yours. It was a blessing to me as a pastor. But when I see someone fall in love with God,
amen,
they just can't seem to get enough of it.
Amen.
I remember that song, I keep falling in love with him over and over. And look at them singing out here. They know the song. But there again, ladies and gentlemen, it's just lip service if we do nothing with it.
Amen.
Well, it's a great song. Lifts your spirits up. Amen. Love lifted me. Y'all do that exercise every once in a while? It's just lip service if we don't give him our heart. Well, you see somebody fall in love, they can't get enough preaching, they can't get enough teaching, they can't get enough soul winning, they can't get enough fellowship, they can't get enough singing. And I could go on and on. It ought to cause us to rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Notice back in our text now quickly. Notice back there, look at verse 23 one more time. Who, when he came, Barnabas, had seen the grace of God. Boy, you know what? We see the grace of God all over here tonight.
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
Grace of God in your life, in my life.
Amen. Yeah, man.
Grace of God in those who get saved, those who get right. Grace of God is eternal.
Yep.
When he came and seen the grace of God, he was glad, the Bible said. And he exhorted them that they all, that with purpose of heart, determination, a goal, if they will, to serve God with all their heart would cleave unto the Lord. You know what they did? They couldn't get enough fellowship.
Yeah, right.
They couldn't get enough singing. They couldn't get enough places to serve God and love God. And it caused them to rejoice here. And in this verse, Barnabas is traveling to Antioch. The Bible tells us, if we go back and read it, the Christian folks in that day had been scattered, the Bible said, due to the death of a man called Stephen, the martyr, if you will. And Barnabas challenged them based on what they had just experienced and what they had just seen with purpose of heart, so that we carry them through and carry them onward. You know what I want for your church family, preacher, and for all of you here tonight? I want God's children to literally fall in love with the Lord Himself.
Yeah, amen.
You can't do that without reading about Him. You can't do that without doing what you're doing right now, being in every single service, unless you're physically unable. And even if you're physically unable to get out and come, you ought to have one of your preacher's tapes or somebody where you can listen at home. Warning, warning, warning here. Fox News alert. Look up here. Don't be turning on them guys on TV you know nothing about. You start listening to them, you'll want your preacher to come off that hard stuff. All they're trying to do is get you dollars, ladies and gentlemen. God's just trying to get you tithe.
Amen.
His tithe, I should say. Amen. If we fall in love with the Lord and give Him our hearts, He will direct us in our lives to His complete will for our life. What are you in love with anyways tonight? Where's your treasure? Who are you in love with? No man can serve two masters, the Bible said. You know these verses. For either he will hate the one, listen, and love the other, else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or this world, or money, or covetousness, or things, and we could go on and on and on. So let me give you a few thoughts tonight on how you can give your heart and what God's expected. Number one, every Christian needs a tender heart.
Yes, sir.
You know what? And I don't have time to spend on talking about hard-heartedness, but sin brings about hard-heartedness. When you get to a place where you can't listen to preaching, you're hard-hearted. It's calloused. Beginning to build a little callous around it, and sooner or later it'll cover the heart and cover your thinking, and you won't like it. You'll move on to another church. You'll be a church hopper. You'll want to move on and go somewhere else and do something else when you're right in a church that's got the truth, got the gospel, wanting to help you, wanting to help your family, wanting to help your children to get saved and be raised properly.
Amen.
There's way too many hardened hearts in our churches today. Christians who are either cold-hearted or even callous-hearted, as I just mentioned. Cold. I wrote this down. Just no longer, listen, on fire for God. No longer interested or concerned about what God's concerned about. Ladies and gentlemen, I have nothing else to go by but the Word of God. And whatever God's concerned about, I'm to be concerned about. Callous. Callous simply means no longer, you don't any longer, feel any compassion. You don't feel any desire. You don't feel any need to do what God's asked you to do. That's a callous heart. And by the way, I'm going to say something here. If you're right to that point, you're the one who needs to get to the altar.
Yes, sir.
Because your next step is out.
Right.
Boy, I could sit up here, your preacher could come up here, and we could just, him for a while, me for a while, tell you of the lives that allowed their hearts to become distant with God, and allow their hearts to become hardened, allow their hearts to become callous, and that quick, they're gone. We've all experienced it in our families. And by the way, you think you're not next, you're next. I think I mentioned this week, and I may mention it three times, but when I've got good friends of mine that were preachers falling out of the pulpit due to immorality or due to drugs or due to stealing money and everything, it can happen in the pulpit, it can happen in the pew.
That's right. Yeah.
And don't you ever say it won't happen in your family, because it'll happen. I thank God I never was guilty of accusing others. Well, I can't believe they're here because their kid did this and did that. Our kid did it. Said, what'd you do, kill him? No. Oh, I wanted to at one time.
Amen.
But I prayed about it. Miss Audie prayed better than I did, and he got back to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
That's what you have to do.
Yep.
Look at Ephesians chapter 4. I know you can turn your Bible. Look there at Ephesians chapter 4. I'm just a Bible preacher, ladies and gentlemen. I don't have a whole lot of stories, and I don't sing well. You done figured that one out. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 18. You'll know it when you get there. And And listen to it carefully now. It says here, listen to verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. In other words, their mind was not on God. It wasn't on Christ. It wasn't on the will of God. It wasn't on the book of God. Look at verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Listen, when your heart gets hard, when it gets callous, your heart becomes blind. Yeah. You can't see things like God wants you to see them. You can't hear things like God wants you to hear.
Yep. Yep.
Amen.
Right.
Now watch. Verse 19. Who being past feeling,
boy,
can't feel it anymore,
wow,
have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, mm-hmm, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now watch this next statement. But you have not so learned Christ. I know what that interpreted means, but I'm going to put it out to you like this. You didn't learn that from Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah. You didn't learn that from Christ. You didn't learn that in the church. And I don't care what your neighbor did. I don't care what the person next door, I don't care what the person sitting next to you did. It's not for you to sin against God.
Amen.
What you ought to do when you see somebody sitting next to you or in your family that are children of God, that have become hard-hearted, that have become calloused or cold-hearted, that have become distant, that have become blinded, if you will, by Satan, you ought to pray for them. Our last ministry, and we appreciate your monthly support, because without you, we couldn't do it. We've been to churches, preacher, of less than 10 people and preached to the 10 people because they needed preaching too.
Amen.
And you made it possible. That way, that little church didn't have to have some big love offering to give to us.
Amen.
And I never wanted to go out for a big love offering anyway. Do I like big love offering? Yes. But I'll go if I don't get one. You know why? Because he's my supply. Amen. And he's your supply too.
That's right.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
Come on.
Gospel hardened is what I call people today. We've heard it all.
Yep. Yeah. Oh.
And don't tell me it doesn't happen.
Right.
Because before I got called in the ministry, I sat right where you sat.
Yeah.
And sometimes I still do this once in a while. Oh my goodness, I've heard that 1,000 times.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah, I know you, preacher. Every Sunday, he gonna slip it in Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday school, Wednesday night, and if he invites you over his house on a Tuesday night, and any other night, you gonna hear things over and over. Let me teach you something. I was taught this years ago in the military. Actually, in school, but I didn't listen. But in the military, repetition.
That's right.
Repetition is a great teacher.
Yes, it is.
You hear it over and over enough, hopefully and prayerfully, you'll get it.
Yep. Amen.
I mean, how many times does a preacher have to get up and say, soul winning, folks, soul winning, soul winning,
yep,
Saturday, soul winning?
Oh,
yeah.
Preach.
Y'all be able to catch that pretty quick. Amen.
Amen.
You will if your heart belongs to God.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. If it's not hardened, if it's not callous, if it's not distant, if you're not already complaining or griping, we ought to be moved to compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion towards them that are without. And the thing about it, go with me, if you will, to Matthew, Gospel of Matthew for just a moment. And it's amazing when you read here so many different wonderful verses, and no way to get them all in tonight, but thank God that we have something to read, and it's just not the Word of Man. Amen? Look at Matthew chapter 10, Matthew chapter 9, and look down, if you will, to verse number, look at verse 36. And speaking of Jesus, he's out in the ministry, he's made the dumb to speak, and done several different miracles, cast devils out of others, went to the villages there in verse 35, teaching in their synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness, and then in verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved, what's that next word?
Compassion.
On them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then, verse 30, saith he unto his disciples, that would be you and I, the harvest truly is plenteous. John chapter 4 says the harvest is already white unto harvest. Watch this now. Then said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are, what's that next word? Few. Pray ye therefore the Lord the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Have you got any compassion for anybody?
That's right.
That's a thermometer of where your heart is today.
Yes, sir.
Well, they'll make it. I made it. They'll make it. No, you didn't make it on your own.
That's right.
Somebody shared the gospel somehow, some way.
Yeah.
It may have been by a written tract. It may have been verbally in your home. It may have been a preaching meeting. It may have been a radio sermon you heard. I don't know. But you didn't get it on your own. And if that ain't good enough, God Himself sent His only begotten Son to die on an old rugged cross, and Jesus Christ made it possible for you to ever have an opportunity to be born again. And we owe Him everything we have. And our heart controls us. Our heart's the center of our life. And by the way, I don't have time. I wanted to, but I don't have time for this. But you ever gone and had a heart test done? There's several kinds. You know, they get them plugged arteries. Y'all remember that? And they have to go in there and put them stents in and open it up so the blood will do what? Flow. You know, when the blood flows, you got more oxygen.
Uh-huh.
And when you got more oxygen, you got more energy.
Yeah.
Amen. And you feel better.
Yep.
Amen. Some of us have plugged arteries.
We
need some spiritual stents put in.
Yeah.
Open up the flow of the blood.
Yep.
Open up the oxygen in our system that we may serve God with a lot of energy, and we don't have much time to do that. There's so many today that don't have any answers, no direction. They don't know what to do anymore because they've allowed themselves not to know what to do anymore. You know, that's all right for folks outside the church. They have no answers. They have no direction. They have the world, and that's all they have. And the world cannot satisfy. And the world is only temporary. And Christian, that ought to mean a whole lot more to you and I. They need a Christian. Need a Christian with a tender heart to tell them about Jesus.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
To tell them about how He saved them and how He satisfied their life, how He sanctified and set them apart, and how He has supplied for their life. They need a tender-hearted Christian to do that. Jesus Himself said that in these latter days, men's hearts would fail them. Their hearts would wax or grow colder, if you will, and colder. You know what? He was right, and that's where we are today.
Amen.
We ought to have a tender heart. We ought to have a tender heart towards sinners.
That's right.
A tender heart towards each other.
Yep.
You and I need to learn how to keep sin out of our own lives so that can happen. You know, one of the things that's happening today more than ever before, every time I go to a church, they say, "Preacher, we can't find bus workers anymore. Can't find somebody wanting to get up early and go down and crank up an old cold bus or get on an old hot bus in the middle of July and August and go pick them kids up."
Yeah.
Or a van. I know vans sometimes have air conditioners, but you know, a van sometime with 15 passengers, you get them all in there and they're all plugged in. It's noisy. Amen. At least a bus, you can roll the windows down or pull them down. You got some air and all the noise is trying to penetrate outside the walls of the bus. But you know what we need in our church today? We need tender hearts.
Yeah, that's right.
Preacher, what do you need?
Amen.
Well, I need somebody to go after these kids.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Man, listen to me. Every time you come through the door, preacher, what do we need? Anything I can help you with? Every single time you come in.
Yeah.
He's one. You're several.
That's right.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
And the thing is, you may have some responsibility already, but it's all right. Take on a little bit more.
Yeah. Amen.
Yep.
I don't know, as a pastor, even as busy as I was the pastor, I never was so busy I couldn't find something else to do.
Yeah.
My daddy used to tell me all the time, "Son, if you can't find something else to do, I'll find it for you."
Oh, yeah.
So if you can't find something else to do, find your preacher. He'll find it for you.
Amen.
Ladies, find your preacher's wife. She can say, "Well, you know what? You could pick this up and clean this up."
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You know, there was a time where we didn't have to pay anybody to clean bathrooms in a church. You know, we just went into a bathroom, and while we was in there, if it was nasty and dirty, and we had come in there for whatever, and we just took some paper towels and kind of cleaned up other stuff. Somebody may have spilled something. Somebody may have not cleaned the sink out. How about that? You say, "Well, that's not spiritual." It doesn't have to all be spiritual,
except
for the heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
God's looking for tender-hearted people to carry on the work of God. You know what the devil's looking for? Hard-hearted people.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Callous-hearted people.
Yep.
Blind-hearted people. And you hear me, His purpose is to destroy every single Christian that he can. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your children. He wants to destroy your relationship with other Christians. He is still Satan, the one who destroys lives. Nothing in the world so moving or so exhilarating or so wonderful as to see someone saved from hell. Nothing. I love it. Every time, it don't matter what age, it doesn't matter if they're 85-year-old or 5-year-old. I get excited every time somebody gets saved, every time they go to the baptistry to make it public, to make what took place here public to others. Follow the Lord and believers, baptism by immersion. Amen? It's exciting. Then they get plugged into this Sunday school class or that Sunday school class. And you know what? What that does for me, it tenders my heart even more. It ought to tender your heart as well. Well, I'm so glad that the Lord had compassion on me. Turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. You know, there's a king we all know by David, and everybody knows this psalm, but we're going to work through a little bit of it if you don't mind. I want you to look down here with me. We know that David had sinned a great sin. He had taken another man's wife. We know the man. We know he was put on the front line. We know he was put to death. So he was part of a murder. Are y'all listening?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
That's right.
Committed adultery with another man's wife, had that man killed.
Yep.
They had a child out of an adulterous affair, and God allowed that child's life to be taken home to be with him.
Right.
Hello?
Yeah.
This is the king. Now watch, though. I want you to see something here. I want you to look at verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin, did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth. He's talking about God. In the inward parts and in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Listen to what his cry is to God. Purge me with hyssop. Remember, hyssop's that little bush they used to take that blood and paint the doors and the lintel there of that home where the firstborn would die if they couldn't see the blood. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Hey, when you get a cold heart, calloused heart, your joy fades. Maybe to hear joy and gladness, that the bone which thou hast broken may rejoice. Now, look up here. You get out into sin, and you get miserable, you'll ache. You'll literally ache. There is nothing to prove that David had any broken bones whatsoever. So why did he mention that? Because sin, he knew it was wrong, and you know it's wrong. And if you don't repent of it and get it out of your life, it'll eat at you, it'll eat at your mind, it'll eat at your heart, it'll eat at your flesh, your health.
Yes, sir.
Until you finally just confess it and repent of it and get it behind you.
Amen. Yep.
He ached so bad because he had disappointed God, and he had that man put on the front lines, and he was murdered. Uriah, if you remember him, and Bathsheba was now suffering from the death of that child to an adulterous affair. He was hurting so bad that it felt like his bones were broken, aching everywhere. And you stay and remain in your sin if you're there. If you're not, then just listen to me say amen once in a while. Amen. But if you're there or headed in that direction, you hear me, you'll get there one day.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. You'll get there.
Yep.
I've seen it. I've seen it in the lives of people, and it turns their lives. If they don't turn to God, it turns them to hatred. It turns them to all types of different things that you didn't think was possible.
That's right. Yeah.
In their lives.
Right.
God's looking for tender-hearted people tonight. He found one here. Read on. It gets better here. Look there at verse number 9. He said, hide thy face from my sin. Blot out all mine iniquity. And that's what God did for you, by the way, if you're saved. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart. There it is. I don't want a cold heart. I don't want a hard heart. I don't want a sinful heart. He said, create in me a clean heart. Could you not do that tonight?
Amen. Come on.
Amen. You know, we have social media today. I haven't said much about it. Can I throw it in here? We're preaching. It's a revival, ladies and gentlemen. Social media will destroy your life if you're not careful. Everything can be used in the right way. Back when I was coming into this movement, it was all about the television. Now we got television, got every kind of program you can think of on those televisions. even on the general networks that we used to watch that were somewhat family oriented are not more anymore. They're using cuss words and they're showing more flesh than they've ever shown before. And you don't have to go far if you got cable and you bought into it, and you ought not buy into it. But if you bought into all that garbage, you can go to HBO, Cinemax, you can go to all that and see nudity and everything else. And what does that do? It pollutes your mind. It'll pollute your eye. Set no wicked thing before mine eye. And it pollutes your heart, and it takes you away from the things of God, and you can't hear God anymore. You can give lip service, but you don't hear Him. I was in a church in Oklahoma, and the preacher, when I got there, couldn't wait to set me down in his office. The preacher, he began to weep, and he's a great guy. He said, "I got some problems in the church." He said, "I think I got rid of the main source." And I hate it when you think you got to get rid of somebody.
Yeah, right.
But he said the lady in his church, and I think he's got a little thing with ladies, you know. He said, "It's easy, always the ladies." I said, "No, it ain't always the ladies. I know some guys." But he said this lady had got on social media because she didn't like something the preacher said.
Yeah.
And she said to the other ladies on social media, "What do you think about the preacher? What do you think about what he said?"
Yeah.
I would to God the phone blow up in her ear.
Yeah,
yeah, amen.
He said, "That ain't good, preacher." No, it ain't good for her opening her mouth.
That's right.
Here's what she should have done. She should have went to the church with her husband. Anybody in here?
No.
Knocked on the preacher's door and said, "Preacher, can we talk to you for just a minute?"
Yeah.
"Preacher, I was kind of taken back from what you said." And
and
not so much what you said, but maybe how you said it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the way you handle it.
Yeah.
You don't handle it on social media.
Yeah.
Right.
And by the way, don't you forget for one minute, they're pulling up all these terrorist social media programs, all the stuff, all their texts, all their background, all their Facebook, they're bringing it all up to find out why they turned the way they turned.
Mm-hmm.
Look up here. God doesn't need Facebook.
That's right.
Yeah,
amen.
That's right. Amen.
Hey.
You preach it to God.
Amen.
God doesn't need it. Doesn't need it for my life. Doesn't need it for your life. He already knows. And by the way, look here. You already. Oh, man, I'm getting ahead of myself here. I know I am. So I better get back up here.
Come on.
I'll get up here. I may have to take one of my heart pills here in a minute.
Amen.
I didn't even give you the title of the second thing. I just went to Psalm 51, didn't I?
Yeah.
I just love to preach, amen. We need tender heart, but number two was we need some totally broken hearts.
Yeah.
And that's what this is right here. Go back now. You got to read the rest of this with me before we get on. So, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me." Boy, I'll tell you, nothing better than a right-spirited Christian. Watch this now.
Yeah.
"Cast me not away from thy presence," and this is powerful, "take not thy Holy Spirit away from me."
Yeah.
Are y'all listening?
Yeah.
"Take not thy Holy Spirit from me."
Yeah.
Look up here. I know you're reading ahead. Don't read ahead. Look up here. If we lived in David's day, and you're living like some of you living right now, he'd have taken the Holy Spirit away from you. He took it away from Saul. Y'all remember Saul? Now I'm not talking about Paul. I'm talking about Saul of the Old Testament that was king. How'd that turn out for him? He didn't last very long, did he? But in that day, preacher, when they messed up bad, God took that the Holy Spirit from them. The power, that was the power. That was God's man, if you will, the power that He sent to give them special power and special insight into the things of God.
Yes, sir.
Now, I know you and I are going to sit there and say, "Well, it ain't going to happen now because He said that the Holy Spirit's in me forever." And you're right, He is. But you can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can quench the Holy Spirit. You can neglect the Holy Spirit. Or you can flat out ignore the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God in anything in your Christian life, no matter what God wants you to do, will never pin you down till you cry uncle. Ain't going to happen. You may get do that with your brother, or you do that with your sister or whatever, but the Holy Spirit ain't going to do that because God's done everything He needs to do. And what the Holy Spirit's looking for is that tender heart. And He's looking for a totally broken heart. And when that takes place, He'll do something special. Show you what I mean. Look at the very next verse. You done read ahead anyways. "Restore unto me the," what's that next word?
Joy
"of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Did you hear that? And when you get right with God, He restores the joy. You don't walk around feeling that you're under all that load of sin. You're free from it. Now watch, don't miss it. Then, after I get right, "then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." Look up here. You know why sinners aren't getting saved through your life? Because you got a cold heart. You got a hard-hearted heart, calloused heart.
Yep.
When you need a tender heart.
That's right.
You need a totally broken heart.
Yep.
And by the way, God has a way of bringing me and you into a place where we feel like we're broken.
Amen.
You know, I think it'd be better if we just got right and not go through that broken state. Amen?
Amen.
Broken heart, yes, but I don't want God to break me to get me to have a broken heart.
Amen.
Are y'all reading what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
There's a whole lot better way to do that. Because God's looking for tender-hearted people. He's looking for totally broken-hearted people here tonight. When you look at the life of David, it's the greatest example in the Bible. How to have a broken heart, or to get a broken heart, realize your sin. Realize your inability to help yourself. You have to call upon God. Recognize God's ability is the only ability to get you out of that state.
Amen.
Repent unto God, restoring your life to full-time service for Him.
Yeah.
You say, well, now, wait a minute, I didn't get called for, oh yeah, I don't have time to go over there. But I can take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 again and show you verses 17 and following where you have been given the ministry of reconciliation and you've also been given the word of reconciliation, which makes you a called individual.
Right.
You're a missionary and you didn't even know it.
Amen,
brother. Amen.
That's right. Amen.
We have no excuses, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
He's just looking for tender-hearted Christians, tender-hearted saints, broken-hearted saints, totally broken-hearted. And then may I say to you, thirdly, you and I ought to have a thirsty heart, a hungry heart, if you will. Look at John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Aren't you glad we have that book? We'd be lost without it, wouldn't we? John chapter 4. Verse number 6. This is powerful, so stay with me here. Bible said, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore being weary, verse 6, with his journey sat thus on the well. It's about the sixth hour. There cometh the woman of Samaria. We all know that she was a woman of the night, but she was a woman from Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away in the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is that thou ask, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And they didn't, because they were called half-breeds, whatever. They didn't have any dealings with them. And this lady was a lady of the night. Watch this. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, who it is that saith thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep. Listen now, from whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. He's talking about the well there. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith to him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not. You know the rest of the story. She got that water. She was given that water. She was gloriously born again. You read down a little bit farther. When she got saved and got her life right, the first thing she did is went into the city and tried to reach every man that she could run into. And the reason she went to the men is that's who she spent her time with as a woman of the night. She went back to those very men. That's the way I believe it. Went back to those very men and said, you know what? Something's happened to me.
Amen.
I've gotten saved. I've gotten born again.
Yep. Amen.
You know what? You and I had that thirst once.
Yep. Yes,
and God saved you and God saved me. We were hungry and God gave us to eat. And God saved us and gave us a life. But you know what? Many of us need to go back to the well.
Yep.
Not to get saved again, but just to taste of the water of life.
Amen.
Just to be right with God and hunger for the Word of God and the things of God for our lives. Well, I'm glad we got this Bible. I said that a moment ago, but I sure am glad. Look at Acts 16. Acts 16. Sometimes you use a lot of Scripture and you hear them pages being pulled apart. It's either a new Bible or they never read their Bible, one or the other. I don't know. I hope it's the first. You got a new Bible. Acts 16. And Look down at verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended to the things which were spoken of by Paul. I only read that to you for this purpose. God's looking for some women tonight. That'll hear Him. That He can open up their heart to understanding what God has for them. And you know, ladies, God has a lot for you.
Amen.
As a grandmother, as a mother, as a future mother, as just as a lady that's serving God in your church. And the thing about it is, God made these, give us these scriptures to show us where He sat down with these ladies and spoke to them and shared with them, and they received what He had. Why? Because they had a thirsty heart. They had a hungry heart. She had a heart to hear the things of God. God opened her heart, so she was no longer hungry and thirsty for Him. Now she was hungry and thirsty for the will of God.
Amen.
Yep. I love it when I see men, women, teens, young, old, sit up, open their Bible, listen to the Word of God, like many of you have done here tonight, and they receive the they receive with open heart the things of God. Why? They're hungry.
Amen.
Whenever you start losing the hunger of God and the hunger of the Word of God, or the thirst for God, your heart's becoming hardened.
Yeah, that's right.
And if you don't do something about it quickly, it'll become that calloused heart.
Yeah.
And then you'll be in total rejection of what God has for your life. What kind of heart do you have tonight? Are you hungry for the things of God? Are you thirsting after the things of God? Are you obeying God? I love to go to any kind of service that's available in our movement with what we believe. It doesn't matter who the preacher is. I'll be real honest with you. I've been in situations where I've heard lady preach. You say, ladies aren't supposed to be preachers. Well, my wife preaches all the time. She likes to tell you that she shares the Word, kind of like Joyce Meyer on TV. Amen. Hopefully you don't know who that is. But anyhow, I've heard ladies speak. By the way, you guys, they study. They study. They know what they're talking about. You know what they got? They got a hunger for God.
Yeah, right.
They're not preachers, but they're teachers.
Yes.
Used of God in great and mighty ways. But, oh, I got a list here and I don't have time, but TV, social media, we spend more time on our telephone than we do in the Book of God.
That's right.
We'll talk with people all day long.
Yeah, that's right.
And never even open the Bible till we go to church. Lip service, but their hearts are far from me. And then number four, let me go ahead and hurry up here. Number four. We ought to have a true heart. What is that? A true heart is a singleness or single heart. Single heartedness, I guess you might call it. Kind of like they did in the book of Acts chapter 2. It was read here last night where they were all in one accord.
Right.
They were all together, had one single heart.
Yep. Amen.
Single will, if you will, from God. Kind of goes along with those men whose heart burned within them. You remember that story? And what happened there is, in fact, look at Luke 22 with me for a moment. Luke chapter 22. This is powerful here. Luke chapter 22. Amazing what God does in our lives, is it not?
Amen.
I thank God for the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. I said Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 24. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Luke chapter 24. There's so many verses, but let's just begin reading here. I think you need to know some of them here as we read along. You know the story, most of you, if you read your Bible. Look at verse 13. Behold, two of them went that same day, two of the men that were there when the Lord was crucified and buried and supposed to be risen again. Behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. And it came to pass while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. Hear me now. But their eyes were holding that they should not know Him. And He said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you want, that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, saying unto Him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Stop right there. Who's the stranger here?
Well,
Jesus was no stranger by then. Who was the stranger here? It was this man, wasn't it? In fact, it's both of them. As we read on, you'll find out it was both of them. And says here, in looking at that there in verse number 18, and one of whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and why has not known the thing which are come to pass there in these days? He said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, watch now concerning Jesus of Nazareth. They didn't even know who they were with. Look up here. Somebody said, well, I got you there. I know who I'm with. Do you?
No.
Do you know who you're with when you're not reading your Bible? Do you know who you're with when you're looking at something you ought not be looking at? Do you know who he is when you go somewhere you ought not go?
Yeah.
Do you know who he is when you're hanging around with people you ought not be hanging around with? We could go on and on and on. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now watch here. Watch here. Watch here. And then in verse 20, go ahead and jump ahead there. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, have crucified, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company were astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of the angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as a woman said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Now watch, beginning at Moses, this is Jesus preaching now, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he, Christ, expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the builders whither they went. He made us, and he made as though he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward even the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. Look up here. They still really didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
They just knew he was speaking good words.
Yeah.
Look at verse 30. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. Watch. And their eyes were open. Now look up here. I don't know. I don't know who these two guys were. The one of them was Cleopas. We know that. But when he broke bread with them, could they have been in the vicinity of the Lord's Supper that night? I don't know. I know. But watch this now. I know this. It got their attention when he blessed it and broke it. He said their eyes were open and they knew him. Y'all see that? And he vanished out of their sight. And this is what I want you to see. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he taught with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Ladies and gentlemen, that's what it's about. God's looking for a true heart tonight. He's looking for a heart that'll hear him. He's looking for a heart that'll know him. That'll present him to others. That's what he's looking for. And sometimes we get so far away from him that we don't recognize him. We certainly don't want somebody else knowing that we know him because we're not living for him. You know how to get back and open your heart the same way these men did. Jesus opened up the Word of God and began to teach to them and preach to them for Moses all the way through. Things concerning what? Himself. You know, we get back to concerning ourselves with the things of Christ and the Word of God. It's amazing how God begins to open up our hearts and open up our eyes.
Yes, sir.
And get rid of that cold heart, that hard heart, that calloused heart. You and I ought to have a true heart unto God. Some of us are cheating on God every day. You try to love God on Sunday and live with Jezebel and the devils the rest of the week. You need to quit the devil.
That's right.
Love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And serve him with all your being.
Amen.
Until he comes for you. Satan is out to steal the hearts of God's people.
Yes, sir.
And we read in the book of Isaiah and read in the book of Matthew that he had done that with so many. Even to the point we read these two men on that road to Emmaus, he had stolen their hearts. They were even told that he rose from the dead and didn't believe it. They didn't recognize Jesus. And they'd been around that city and watched him heal people and seen him do great and mighty things. And they did not know him until he got the scriptures out and began to teach and preach to them.
Yep.
And they recognized when he broke bread with them who he was.
Amen.
I understand that all of us need to have other things in our life besides church. I believe that. No problem. However, never let your hobbies take your heart. Never let sports take your heart.
That's right, brother.
Never let outside music of any kind take your hearts. Never let your job get in the place of your hearts.
Amen.
Got a lot of people come to me from over the years, said, "Preacher, pray for me. I need a job." And I said, "I will." Don't come back to me and tell me that God gave you a job on Sunday, because He ain't going to do that.
Yeah.
Now hang on, look up here. I know you got to have somebody in the tower out the airport on Sunday. I know that. Dear God, we'd have plane crashes everywhere. Amen. I'm glad that there were men on duty yesterday when that idiot went into that church and killed all them people. Aren't you glad there was officers on duty?
Yeah, well,
there are things. But don't just go out and get a job on a Sunday just so you can come up to preach and say, "Well, I can't be there. I'm working a job." Where are you working? "Well, down here at McDonald's." No. Go find a job somewhere.
Yeah.
Something maybe a little bit harder, but allows you to at least come to church once a week anyways.
Yeah.
I know it's tough in this world today.
Yeah.
But I understand this too. When we honor God, God takes care of His own.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stay in your Bibles. Stay on your knees. Stay close to God. Stay in your place in the church that He has for you. Stay single-hearted unto God. Let's do like Hebrews. When Paul wrote Hebrews in 10:22, he said, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith unto God." You know what we need to do? We need a tender heart. We need a totally broken heart. We need a thirsty heart. We need a true heart. And Acts 11:23 again, I can't go without reading that one more time. I love it. "Who when he had come had seen the grace of God," verse 23, Acts chapter 11, "and he was glad. And he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord." You know what he's saying? You got to make up your mind.
Yep.
You got a purpose in your heart. You have to determine in your heart that you're going to serve the Lord. Determine that once and for all, and forever for that matter, you're going to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Will you give God your heart tonight? You know, Christ gave His life. But in giving His life, can I remind you the last thing they did was come around to the side of Him and shove that spear right through His heart. Somebody said His heart burst when He hung up there. And that's quite a great possibility. But when they run that thing up there, fluid and blood came pouring out. Why? Because He gave His heart. His heart was in the right place.
Yeah.
His heart was to do the will of God.
Yeah.
And He went to Calvary and did the will of God for you.
Amen.
Gave His heart, gave His life, so you and I could have what we have tonight. The ability to come to church, open up the book of God, sing great songs, hymns of the faith, fellowship with one another, love each other, support our pastor and his wife, support each other in what we call the local church that your preacher already mentioned, and I'll mention it again, Acts 20:28, that He bled and died for the church.
Yes.
That makes you and I recipients of His broken heart for you. Will you give God your heart tonight? Would you finally surrender everything you have? There's some of you men in here tonight. God needs preachers. Now, God may not have called you to any certain church or any mission field yet, but you know you have to train. Doctors have to train. When I was in the military and I was an aircraft mechanic, I had to train. When when God called me to ministry, at 28 years old, I went in the ministry. 4 years in Bible college. Are y'all listening?
Yep.
Married with 3 kids. 4 years in Bible college. But God's looking for young men. He's looking for older men.
Yep.
He was not too young when He surrendered. Brother Doug Ellis over here in Roanoke, Texas, was 39 years old, if I remember. 37, 39, somewhere in there. He came into my office, said, "Preacher," he said, "am I too old? I believe God's called me to preach." I said, "You're never too old."
Amen, brother.
I said, "Moses was 80. I mean, was he too old?" Look up here. He surrendered. He started church over in Roanoke.
Yep.
And it's going strong today.
Yes,
sir. Yep. Huh? God can use anybody who has a tender heart.
Yeah. Mom. Yep.
Who has a thirsty heart.
Yep.
Who has a totally broken heart.
Amen.
Who has a true heart toward God. Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking about tonight. I want to ask a couple of questions while the musician makes his way to the piano. I'm going to ask a couple of questions, and then I want to turn it over to the one who